The disaster at G-Iron Port is the kind of story that gets undercovered because it's happening in a remote, hard-to-access region, but the human scale is devastating. More than 558 people are listed as missing on the Chinese side of the border. Nepal's confirmed death toll has passed 160. The G-Iron Port crossing is the primary land route between Nepal and Tibet. It's a commercial artery, a tourism gateway, and the point where hundreds of truck drivers and traders cross daily. A mudslide of sufficient force to bury an entire border crossing speaks to the volume and velocity of debris involved.
What makes this geologically significant beyond the immediate tragedy is that it fits a pattern. The Himalayas are warming at roughly double the global average rate. Glaciers that have been stable for centuries are developing internal stress fractures. The mechanism here appears to be a glacial lake outburst, a GLOF event in the technical terminology, where meltwater accumulates inside or beneath a glacier until the ice dam fails catastrophically. When that happens, you get a wall of water and debris moving at speeds that can reach 60 or 70 kilometers per hour through mountain valleys. There is essentially no warning time.
Nepal has more than 3,600 glacial lakes. A 2023 survey identified 47 of them as posing high outburst risk. The Himalayas span China, Nepal, India, Bhutan, and Pakistan, all countries with significant populations living in river valleys downstream from these lakes. This isn't a one-time event. The Koshi River flooded catastrophically in 2024, and before that, the Chamali disaster in 2021 killed more than 200 people in Uttarakhand. What's happening at G-Iron is a data point in a series, not an outlier.
The diplomatic dimension here is also worth noting. China and Nepal have a complex relationship around the G-Iron corridor. It was rebuilt after the 2015 Nepal earthquake and represents significant Chinese infrastructure investment as part of the broader Belt and Road connectivity goals. China's search and rescue capacity in Tibet is substantial, but remote. We should watch for how Beijing handles the international aspect of this, because Nepal will need outside assistance and China has historically been protective of its operational sovereignty in Tibetan territory.
The 558 missing figure on the Chinese side is particularly difficult to process, because it almost certainly includes a large number of Nepali traders and drivers who were on the Chinese side of the crossing when the collapse occurred. So the human casualties are likely mixed between Nepali and Chinese nationals in a way that the official counts from each government may not fully capture. The families waiting for information in Kathmandu and in Tibetan towns are dealing with an information blackout that comes from both the physical inaccessibility of the site and the communication infrastructure being destroyed along with the crossing itself.